Ramadan Reflections, Day 28. Fatima al-Zahra, Allah respects her in the revelation of Surah Al-Insan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for the 28th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, 2023. And our theme, not like the other women in the Quran. You know, we have two or potentially 3 days left of this blessed month of Ramadan. A month of spiritual connection or reconnection to Allah. And as we get closer to the end of the month, we don't want to lose our vigor and enthusiasm for the Quran and its message, its life-giving message. The message which we need to live and imbibe every day of our lives. Therefore, today in Ramadan Reflections, we look at Fatima al-Zahra. May God's peace and blessings be upon her. As she is in the Quran, and this is our second day of looking at her in this in the light of the Quran, and a very unique event actually that we're going to look at today, and a unique way in which Allah commends Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her and her family. Now there's no doubt, brothers and sisters, that one of the best deeds in Islam is to feed another human being, another person. That's why we ourselves see that there is such an emphasis in our local communities on providing iftar in the month of Ramadan, feeding our local community members. Yeah, we can send the money overseas, but there's nothing like sitting down for iftar with your local community to instill fraternity between the believers. It's true that most of us in the West, and even really in the East, you know, we can afford food. Our fridges are fully stocked. Our pantries are stocked full of food. The closets are filled to the brim with stuff. But there's a different feeling when you eat food in Ramadan at the center or in a communal gathering and you worship together and you break bread together. It definitely, as I said, fosters a greater sense of fraternity and unity and cohesion in the community. Now, we feel that when we eat food from one another. How about feeding a homeless person? How would you feel? How about feeding an orphan, somebody who's lost mom and dad? How would you feel? How about migrants who have nothing to eat or nowhere to go or don't even know if and when they will have their next meal? How do you think that would make you feel? How would that make God not feel, but how would God respond? Now, there's no doubt in my mind that in the early period of Islam, Muslims were in a difficult situation. Boycotts were there against the Quraysh, against the Prophet, against Banu Hashim. Embargoes were the norm, not just something that happens today to Muslim countries. Muslims' time in Mecca faced boycotts and embargoes. Some Muslims went days without a proper meal, eating literally grass and leaves off of trees. However, in all of the first 20 years of the early days of Islam, there's no doubt that although some companions had more wealth than others and they would actually go and buy people who were enslaved and would free them for the sake of Allah. However, let me ask you, did you ever hear of Allah ever revealing a verse, even one verse about these people? Did he ever reveal an entire chapter about people who would go and buy people who are considered as slaves and free them? I don't see a verse in the Quran about any of the Sahaba companions doing this. Now, definitely some companions fed others as well. However, again, I ask you, hand on heart, is there a single verse in the Quran about them feeding hungry people? The answer is a resounding no. You won't find it in the Quran, and I challenge you to find it. And if you do, message me or put it in the description of this video. However, this all changes in Medina when three people come to the house of the greatest woman, Fatima al-Zahra, may God's peace and blessings be upon her. They ask for food. She gives all she has to the point where her family are put into difficulty because of the sake of others. That's what we call self-sacrifice. You need, others need, you put others over your own. So what's the outcome? Why am I going on this diatribe? Well, let's look back and let the Quran speak and tell us what happens. And then let me come back and discuss this in depth. So chapter 76, Surah Al-Insan, also known as Surah Ad-Dahr, the chapter of the human being, the chapter of time. Allah says the following. It's a lengthy passage. Please stay focused. They are those who fulfill the vow, the promises and responsibilities that they undertake, and who fear a day whose evil is extensive and encompassing. Everyone that deserves it. They give food, however great be their need for it, with pleasure to the destitute and to the orphan and to the captive, saying, "We feed you only for God's sake. We desire from you neither recompense nor thanks. We desire only the acceptance of God. We are surely fearful of a day from our Lord, a day of frowning and severity toward the guilty." It was Hassan and Hussein, the two children of Ali and Fatima, peace be upon all of them, are young and they fall ill. Imam Ali and Bibi Fatima, Fatima Zahra, peace be upon them both, take an oath to Allah that when they get better, the two children get better, they will fast for 3 days. The boys recover, and so to keep their promise to Allah, the family fast. A quote, and in addition to the family, also fidda, the servant in the house. Every day after preparing their meal for the evening, for the iftar, someone comes to the door asking for help. Day number one, a destitute poor person. They break their fast with water and whatever they have. Day number two, an orphan. They give the food, they break their fast with water and whatever they have. Day number three, a war captive, a prisoner of war. They give him all their food, they break their fast with water and whatever they have. They give all of their food to these people. And Allah loves this act so much, brothers and sisters, because they didn't do it for fame. They didn't do it for glory. They didn't do it for their names to be announced at the gala community dinner in Medina, that they fed people. No, what do they say? They say, "We feed you only for God's sake. We desire from you neither recompense nor thanks. We desire only the acceptance of God." It's at this point, brothers and sisters, where the rewards which they are promised come to be known to Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, from Allah by way of revelation. And this is seen in Surah Insan, the same chapter that we began with, from verses 11 through to 22. Now indulge me as I go through these. They're very short verses as well, but we need to know them for me to get to my conclusion. So God says, "So Allah will surely preserve them from the evil of that day and enable them to find radiance and joy. He will reward them for all they did endure, a garden of paradise and garments of silk. Reclining therein on thrones, they will find therein neither burning sun nor severe cold. And its shade will come down low over them, and its clusters of fruit hang down low within their reach. And they will be served with vessels of silver and goblets like crystal, crystal clear, made of silver. They themselves determine the measure of the drink as they wish. And there they will be given to drink of a cup flavored with ginger of paradise, filled from a spring therein called Salsabil, as it flows smoothly and continuously as they wish. There will go round them youths of perpetual freshness. When you see them, you would think them scattered pearls. And whenever you have a look therein, you will see unimaginable delight and a great kingdom. Upon those servants will be garments of fine green silk and brocade, and they will be adorned with armbands of silver, and their Lord will favor them with the service of a pure drink. This is what has been prepared for you as a reward, and your endeavor has been recognized and accepted." Now, I want to keep the remaining portion of this discussion short and to the point, because we're already way far into this discussion and time-wise. But if you reflect on these verses, we begin to see how Fatima az-Zahra, peace be upon her, becomes an exception to the rule. Now, when describing the bounties of paradise that these people will receive, and we know these people to be the Ahlul Bayt, Fatima Zahra, her husband Imam Ali, and their two sons, Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them, Allah enumerates at least 10 different blessings that are awaiting them in paradise. What are they? Very briefly, He will guard them from the tribulations of that day. Number two, He will cause them to meet with ease and happiness. Number three, He will give them gardens and silk. Number four, they will be given raised couches covered in shade, neither too hot nor too cold. Number five, fruits will be made easy within their reach. So far, 5 points God is mentioning what is awaiting them in paradise. Number six is cups made of silver. But they're unique because they're transparent as if they were crystal glass. Number seven, what Allah will give them in paradise, in these cups will be a mixture to drink of ginger from a fountain named Salsabil. Number eight, garments of green silk interwoven with gold. Number nine, what is the ninth thing that God talks about in this passage of paradise? Servants at their disposal. And number 10, bracelets of silver. Now, if you know anything about the Quran and the du'as and the hadith, you know that one, at least one thing is missing, which is mentioned in other verses of the Quran, again, and du'as, and in hadith. Whenever we talk about Jannah, one thing is there which is missing here, which is what are called the Hurul Ain, these beautiful damsels. Numerous blessings in heaven, brothers and sisters, to the righteous. However, for actions of the Ahlul Bayt, which warranted Surah Al-Insan to be revealed, because it includes Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, a woman, there is no mention of the Hurul Ain. It seems, according to our great commentators of the Quran, that out of respect for Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, Allah has not spoken about them, as He would have done in other passages. In fact, the late Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, may Allah raise his rank, the author of Al-Mizan, the major 20-volume commentary of Quran, he says, it should be noted that in these verses under discussion, the blessings of the women of paradise, meaning the Hurul Ain, are not mentioned among the blessings of paradise. Although in the words of Allah Ta'ala, in other places in the Quran, almost wherever the blessings of paradise are mentioned, Hurul Ain are mentioned as one of the most important gifts. From the apparent reading, it may be understood that the reason for this not taking place in Surah Al-Insan was that amongst the Abrar, these righteous people in these verses, there was a woman present, meaning Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her. And so Allah Almighty did not mention the Hurul Ain in order to observe her sanctity. Again, the status of women, what more can we say? What more needs to be said when the Quran says it all, really? We conclude this brief review of Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, as being the unparalleled role model for all of us, men and women alike, and how Allah was so fond of her altruism and dedication that He dedicates an entire chapter for her and her family. Now, we've only got a couple of days left of the month of Ramadan, and tomorrow and the day after, we're going to turn our attention to four women that are mentioned in the Quran. But as role models, we do not want to follow or emulate, no matter what, as they say, come hell or high water. And these four women are wives of past prophets of Allah. So tomorrow, 29th day of Ramadan, we're going to look at the wives of Prophet Nuh, and the wife of Prophet Nuh and the wife of Prophet Lut, and see how Allah addresses them and informs us of their character. And on the last day, we will look at two wives of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, that were in Medina, that were launching calculated attacks and character assassination and humiliation against our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. Until tomorrow, brothers and sisters, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.